Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McKay on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Wait a minute, what is that? It's back. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app, thegamenashville.com, iTunes, everything where podcasts are available. Welcome in. Good to be back. Chasing Checkers. I know you, for those of you big race fans that subscribe and you listen, you've probably been wondering where the heck I've been, where the pod has been. And so I will kind of let everybody in on what was going on. There was a lot of different things as my role here at ESPN 102.5 The Game has changed over the past couple months. I decided to put the old Chasing Checkers on hold, but I said on Twitter and I said it on the air a few times that I had no intentions of putting it away for good. I was going to bring it back, and that is what I have done today. And so excited to be talking racing with all of you again. I'm sorry that we went away for a few months. A lot of fun races have taken place during that time. Of course, last weekend at Watkins Glen, Chase Elliott gets the win, his second win of the year. And Chase, right now, you saw he won at Talladega and then had a rough time through the early part of the summer and back into some of the spring. And now that he's found victory lane again, his second straight win at Watkins Glen, it seems like Chase Elliott has found a little bit of momentum. So that's good for him and Hendrick Motorsports. Coming up on the show today, not only will we talk about that, I'm going to talk about some rivalries that are brewing here in NASCAR because I love it. You know how I feel about those. But Rick Allen from NBC Sports is going to join the show, his first appearance, and William Byron. And William Byron is one of those guys that will be a subject when we get to rivalries, but he is going to join the show today as well, coming up in the next segment. So let's talk Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott gets it done at Watkins Glen. Not only does he get the win, but he dominates. Chase Elliott with a huge weekend on the road course. He had his dad, Bill, spotting for him once again as a second spotter. So was able to share that moment once again in victory lane with Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. Martin Truex Jr. gave him a run at the end of the race. I honestly thought Truex was going to catch him. I thought that Truex was going to end up passing him and take the win. Chase was able to hold him off and get his second win of the year. Denny Hamlin, another strong run for him, comes home third. Eric Jones is fourth. So three Gibbs cars finishing there, second, third, and fourth. Rounding out the top five was Ryan Blaney. Then Matt DiBenedetto, he continues to be impressive. I've enjoyed watching him and how that new team, or his new team, Levine Family Racing, that he joined this year, but they have the deal with Gibbs and those Toyotas. You can tell that they're really starting to come into their own. Then Kevin Harvick, Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, and Kurt Busch round out the top 10. Kyle Busch rebounds to finish 11th. Before we get into Mr. Kyle Busch, let's hear from the race winner, Chase Elliott from NBC Sports.
The enthusiasm from this team and from Chase. I got to ask you about that last stint, maybe the most perfect stint you've ever driven in your life, because you could not afford even one little bobble.
No, it was Martin was really good. I thought he was maybe a little better than us through that last one, but my team did a great job. Our Napa Camaro was fast. It was fast enough, and guys stayed mistake-free today. I just had a good day on pit road, stayed mistake-free on the track, and track position was king. So just appreciate all our partners. Napa Chevrolet had great power today. The Hendrick Engine Shop's doing work. So Hooters Mountain Dew, KBB, Valvoline. Look forward to next week. Just nice to get out of the slide we were in. These past month and a half, that many fun. So great way to rebound, and can't wait to get home, celebrate with my girls.
Even better news, you had fuel for burnouts this year. One in front of your dad, which you told him you were going to do, which was nice. But 2.5 burnouts is a nice way to celebrate, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. My burnout rated about a C- around a gas again, so it happens. But we'll move on.
All right, so let's bring in William Clyde Elliott here. And, you know, I know he said less than 40 words today, but how cool is this moment to share it with him?
Yeah, it's you know, he was back in the bus stop again and, you know, just trying to get through there. There was a couple times I messed up, and then Martin messed up there with a handful of laps left and had a little bit of a gap. So always nice to hear a comforting voice occasionally.
How cool is that for Chase Elliott to have those moments, to be able to – he did this last year, to have Bill Elliott on the radio, and, you know, he's spotting for him, but also if – like you heard him say there, if he messes up, you have your dad saying, hey, it's okay, son. It's okay. You know, and Bill Elliott has that distinctive voice that NASCAR fans know. But for this, for Chase Elliott now to have two wins to go into the playoffs, it's big, but it's also, this is the time last year he got his first win, and then he popped off several more before the season was over. Does this start momentum for Chase Elliott moving into the playoffs to make him a legitimate championship contender? That is the question that I'm currently asking. I honestly feel that way. I always felt like he would be something that this little spiral he was on, the rough patch, was going to go away. But I feel like he's got some momentum. And racing's one of those sports that you can carry that momentum with you. And now that if you look, he's eighth in the standings, if you base it all on points with the two wins. So you got Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Chase Elliott. Those are your winners in the top 10. And then Eric Almirola, Ryan Blaney round out the top 10. Alex Bowman, he's got a win. Then William Byron, Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, Clint Bowyer, Jimmy Johnson currently in the cutoff spot, tied with Ryan Newman, but he edges out Ryan Newman. Chase Elliott now having those two wins will turn out to be important for him. Because, like I said, I don't think he's done. He did it last year. So we will see here in the coming weeks at Michigan this weekend what Chase Elliott will do. Can he keep the momentum going? Now, winning aside, winning is great. Let's get to the feuds. We have several. William Byron, I'll start with him because he's coming up here in a few minutes on the show. William Byron got into it a little bit with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch had himself a day, an interesting day, to say the least. But Chad Knaus, Byron's crew chief, actually encouraged William Byron to get some payback on Kyle Busch, and he did. Mr. Hendrick, Rick Hendrick, was asked about it in the post-race press conference when he was there for Chase Elliott, of his thoughts of Knaus giving Byron that advice.
I didn't know that till someone told me that coming in here. I think, you know, it goes down like back to what I said. I think if you let guys push you around and, you let them know that you're not going to let that happen. And I think he got the worst end of the deal when Kyle brake checked him and knocked the front end out of the car. But, you know, sometimes you, in the heat of the battle, you want to do things and you, if you thought about it a little bit more, maybe you just settle down and go finish the race. But in the heat of battle, and I didn't know Chad told him to, but if I'd had a radio, I'd probably tell him the same thing.
There you go, Mr. H. Here's my deal on Kyle Busch, and I've always said there was a place for a guy like Kyle Busch in NASCAR. He has a personality. He wins a lot. He loves to win. He hates to lose. The fans either love him or they hate him. There's no in between. You either love Kyle Busch or you don't. And that's okay. It's all right to have those guys. But at the same time, if he's going to be this way towards young drivers and he's going to try and push them around, I have no problem them pushing back. In fact, he probably respects them more, the fact that they're pushing back. Now, he might be pissed off. But the fact that you have these drivers that are willing to do that, push back and say, hey, just because you're Kyle Busch, you're not gonna push me around, it's good for the sport because it creates something for us to talk about and it's excitement. The fans want to tune in and see what's going to happen, but it just adds to personality, and personalities in this sport are so important. Here is Exhibit B, Bubba Wallace. Fans already like Bubba Wallace because he's not afraid to speak his mind. You know, he's out throwing the football on pit road, and he's someone that fans seem to really enjoy. He was mad at Kyle Busch. He had a he turned him around at Watkins Glen, and he caught up with Nate Ryan of NBC Sports after the race, and basically, like I've always said, he told it like it was.
He just run me the over. That's exactly what happened. So I don't care if I'm 2 years in a rookie scratch or what, but I'm gonna get my respect on the track, and I don't care who it is. So that's what one guy's failed to think about the young guys, I guess, or with me. So I won't put up no. So I flat out wrecked his ass back. So I won't be like, oh, it's Kyle Busch. You know, he didn't mean to.
There you go, Bubba Wallace with Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Bubba's not putting up with no bleep. And I respect that. I think most people will respect that. That you have to stand up for you. You can't get pushed around. And Kyle Busch is one of these guys that he loves to win so much that he will do whatever it takes to win. And he always says, I'm going to race you like you race me. Okay. But he doesn't always like how he gets raced if he's racing them that way. You saw it with Kyle Larson a year ago at Chicago. They went door to door, beating and banging on each other, and they were both cool with it. They walked away. They were like, hey, that's it. That's racing. That's how it is. But he's running all over Bubba Wallace, not giving him any respect. Bubba dumps him. Same for William Byron. I don't have an issue with it. I take no issue with that. Now, the other feud that kind of started at Watkins Glen was Jimmy Johnson and Ryan Blaney. Jimmy Johnson was looking like he was going to have a decent day. He got into it a few times with Ryan Blaney, and Jimmy was not happy about it.
Yeah, he just drove through me in the carousel over there. I was trying to hear what he had to say, but his lips are quivering so bad and he can't even speak. I guess he's nervous or scared or both. I don't know what the hell the problem is. He just drove through me, spun us out, and clearly that has big implications on what we're trying to do for the playoffs right now. So clearly not happy with his actions there.
Yeah, obviously upset. Can you see the positive, though, coming in with Cliff Daniels, that you had such a good run going?
I scored points in both stages there, which was nice, and setting up for a top 10, top 8 run, and just got drove through. So he claims it was racing. I can't wait to go racing. Everybody stay tuned.
Jimmy Johnson not happy with Ryan Blaney. That was Kelly Stavis of NBC Sports. Now, on the flip side, Ryan Blaney took a little ownership for what happened when he also caught up with Kelly Stavis.
An impressive run today for Ryan Blaney and this 12 team from 37th up to 5th, Ryan. But first, I got to ask you about contact with Jimmy Johnson, because I just spoke with him and he told me that you flat ran through him. What's your take on that incident?
Obviously, you're going to have two takes on the incidents. I mean, first things first, I didn't mean to spin him out. I mean, that's not how I raced. I didn't mean to do it. And I know what he's fighting for, but he got off the bus stop kind of funky, and I passed probably 10 guys off the bus stop all day. I was getting through there really good, and he had old tires, and thought he knew I was there, and he left more than a lane and kind of came down. I checked up, tried to stay off of him, and he just kind of turned around there. But, definitely unintentional. I understand he's ticked off, and I can't blame him for being ticked off, but not what I wanted to happen. I didn't run through him. I mean, I thought I was there. He thought he was clear. Just kind of one of those deals.
I know he came over to talk to you. Do you feel like anything was resolved there?
I mean, it was good to talk about it. I mean, you don't want to not talk about it, and he's still upset, and I can't blame him for being upset. I'd be upset too, but I mean, you gotta understand, I didn't mean to do it. I mean, I thought I had enough of a nose there for sure, but running through him is kind of far from the truth.
That's Ryan Blaney after the incident with Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy hadn't let this go either. Jimmy's still ticked off about it. And if you go, so that was the NBC, that was from NBC Sports. If you go to NASCAR.com, they have two clips back-to-back of Jimmy Johnson and Ryan Blaney, I guess after the TV interviews with the media scrum, and it got even more heated.
It's stupid. He just drove through me. I don't know what he was trying to say. His lips were quivering. He's scared over there. Just drove through me.
Said I was scared?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He can think that. Did I turn away? No, I didn't turn away. If he wanted to go, we could go.
So now they're ready to fight, apparently. But look, racing deals are going to happen. You've always heard the old school drivers go, it's one of them racing deals. Racing deals are going to happen. But then you're going to have two, as Ryan Blaney said, you're going to have two different sides of the argument. You're going to have one guy that's a little more pissed off than the other guy. Okay, that's a part of it. Guess what? We're going to watch. We want to see it. I want to see them, you know, beat and bang and have this feud. And there can be respect, but they obviously have a disagreement on how the other one races. Jimmy Johnson's not going to cut Ryan Blaney any room. I doubt Ryan Blaney's going to cut Jimmy Johnson any room. But that gets us to watch. It's exciting. So these rivalries, it's old school. I like it. And it's going to make the playoffs that much better. One of the guys that I mentioned earlier, William Byron, he was involved in one of these. He joins the show next here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. And as promised, Chase McCabe here with the driver of the number 24, Hendrick Chevy. It's not Cole Trickle, we'll get to that, but William Byron is hanging out with us. And William, I'm going to start with that. Your paint scheme for Darlington, I am so pumped about this.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited about it too.
How much input did you have on that? Because the throwback weekend has become a big thing in the Cup Series, Xfinity Series, over the last few years at Darlington. And I know this year is more about the 90s. I remember Days of Thunder when it came out. Was that your idea or was it kind of a joint effort?
It was really a joint effort. I would say that it's funny, we had a movie night a couple of months ago when our team was kind of getting formed up. I think it was in April, and Chad invited all the guys out to go to a movie, and so we watched Days of Thunder, and that's really where it originated. The idea did just from that, because we realized that we had a Hendrick Auto Guard on the car for that weekend at Darlington, so we wanted to do something that was related to Hendrick's past and, you know, kind of the history there. So it made a lot of sense to do City Chevrolet, because that's obviously Mr. Hendrick's dealership, so it makes perfect sense, and that's a really good tie-in. So thankful that Hendrick Auto Guard can allow us to have that on the car, and I think it's going to be a great weekend for exposure for all of that.
So the universe has made this just work out perfectly, because if you're Cole Trickle, does that make Kyle Busch Rowdy Burns?
I guess so.
Didn't think
about that, but yeah.
Yeah, it kind of all works out, doesn't it? But last weekend, Kyle Busch had a couple of run-ins, not only with you, but with Bubba Wallace as well. But is this just a result of how this rules package has worked out? You guys are closer together, and it's just tough racing that now we're starting to see maybe some tempers flare?
I don't know if it has anything to do really with the rules package last week, per se, because we're just kind of, running, it's normal Watkins Glen, typical turn one, who gives enough room, who doesn't type thing. So I don't know. I think we're kind of fighting for similar real estate in turn one, and I think it's just part of racing, honestly. So I think after that was kind of different, but we can just work that out on the track.
William Byron here with us, and Hendrick Motorsports. We saw your teammate Chase Elliott get the win last week. Alex Bowman got his first career win. You have been close. It seems like the relationship with Chad Knaus seems to be working. Are you starting to feel more comfortable now that he's been on the pit box for more than half a season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're a lot more comfortable working together. I feel like we've gotten past the newness of the communication and our relationship, so I think that's made us better, because we can now focus in on details and stuff like that. So I feel like we're getting closer as the weeks go by, and that's going to help us progress even further. So we're obviously 12th in points, so hopefully we can pick off a couple more guys and try to get ourselves in the playoffs, and then go from there and try to compete throughout the playoffs.
I had a chance to talk to you a little bit last year in your rookie year, and I know how overwhelming it can be for a guy moving up to the Cup Series, but just listening to you talk here and seeing interviews on TV, you seem much more comfortable now that you're in year two in the Cup Series, and it's showing on the track, as you mentioned, 12th in points, but working with Chad Knaus, I know, has helped that. But what is it that's changed for you that just has made this seem more comfortable?
I think it's just honestly time and performance too. I think, when you perform a little bit better, things come easier to be able to go out there and do what you need to do. So I think now that we're performing better, we can go out there and focus on trying to race and try to win. So I think that's just where the comforts come from, is just the performance, and hopefully that continues, especially into the probably the most important part of the year.
One thing we've always seen out of Hendrick Motorsports is the teams work well together. Going back to the days that Jeff Gordon was there and Jimmy Johnson, you know, winning his seven titles, but I feel like that has continued with you and Alex and Chase and Jimmy, that you're all able to lean on each other and get ideas. Is that pretty much the case?
Yeah, definitely. We've definitely leaned on each other a lot this year to get through, you know, the learning process and trying to understand how to get better. So obviously there's three of us that are pretty similar or pretty close in age. And then Jimmy's the veteran guy, so we can lean on him for advice. So I would say it's a pretty good communication now. We've all been with the team for 2 years now, so it's gotten pretty seamless.
How do you deal with expectations? Because you're someone that coming up through the ranks, a lot of people had their eyes on you, obviously driving for Hendrick Motorsports and able to get into the Cup Series, but someone that looks to have a bright future. And the same, you know, was said for Chase Elliott, and it took him a while to finally find victory lane. Do you guys talk about those expectations and kind of how to deal with it week in and week out?
Oh, we do. I mean, it's I don't really focus on expectations. It's easy to get disappointed if you have high expectations. So I think that I try to just approach it, you know, with the goal in mind to try to run well every week and hopefully win the race. I mean, I wouldn't be at the track if I didn't hope that or think that we could win. But I think that, you know, I just try to go out there and focus on what I can do better and see what that leads to.
William Byron here with us on Chasing Checkers. And we've seen with this rules package that a track like Michigan, it seems to make it a lot of fun. And I know you guys have been there already once this year. But what are you expecting this weekend racing-wise?
I'm expecting it to be really fast, and I think the racetrack is going to be really smooth. So I expect it to be a difficult race. You know, it's going to be obviously fast and exciting. So hopefully you can have the right restart lanes and try to just manage your race the best you can. I think the previous race here was all about patience and trying to make sure that you got in the right position to make passes.
Does it make it difficult when you go from, you know, these intermediate tracks, but you were at a road course last week and then Pocono the week before, that you basically bounce to three very different racetracks? Is it hard to gain momentum when you do that?
It is. I think when we come back to the racetrack for the second time from June or May, it makes it easier for us because now we have a chance to kind of look back at our notebook and try to improve. So that definitely helps us at Pocono with our performance, and I think it'll help us as we continue this year, is just going back to the track for the second time.
Well, William, best of luck this weekend at Michigan. It's good to talk to you again, and I feel like you're very close, my friend, at finding victory lane. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
That's William Byron, the driver of the number 24 Hendrick Chevy, joining us, second-year driver. Putting him with Chad Knaus is going to turn out to be a really, really smart move from Hendrick Motorsports. I felt, and a lot of people felt this way, that it was time for Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus to go their separate ways. It wasn't that there was any type of feud or anything like that. It was just it was time for new ideas. And Jimmy Johnson already on another crew chief that he's had his struggles this year. But Chad Knaus working with a young driver like William Byron has paid off. You can hear the confidence. You can tell that the way they are strategizing and running these races, that it's a relationship that is going to work out. And, you know, how long will they be together? I don't know. I'm sure there were conversations about that because I know Chad has done a lot with Fox. He's done a lot of TV. You know, could he be moving into that role at some point in time? I don't know. But he's shown that he still has a desire to win. He still has a desire to mentor, and now he's doing that with William Byron. And William, I always said about William Byron, I felt like he was moved up a little too fast, that maybe one more year in the Xfinity Series would have done him some good. You know, we all talk about some of these up-and-coming young drivers. Christopher Bell is a prime example. You look at Christopher Bell in the Xfinity Series right now, and you think, he is ready, he's good to go, move him on up to Cup. But it's looking like he's going to get another year in Xfinity, and I don't think that's a bad thing. If he wins 6-7 races, fine. Fine. Who cares? That's good. That helps confidence. That helps performance. I believe that William Byron needed somebody like Chad Knaus to help him kind of learn things and get through some of the hardships of being a young driver in the NASCAR Cup Series. So good to catch up with him. Michigan coming up this weekend, and we will see what that 24 can do. When we come back, the man that'll be calling the action for NBC Sports at Michigan, Rick Allen, will join the show. It's all next on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are moving right along here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We had William Byron earlier, and now the man that'll be calling all the action for NBC this weekend at Michigan, Rick Allen, is on the line with us, the lap-by-lap voice. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chase. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited about this weekend because I love road course racing, and Pocono is always fun, but with this new rules package, these big tracks like we see at Michigan, they have been a lot of fun this year, so I'm excited to see some side-by-side racing.
We are, too. We're hoping that Joey Logano forgot everything that he learned in June, and he comes with a car that's just competitive. We don't want him to go out there and outrun the field like he did earlier this year. So we're expecting some great things here. They put the traction compound down outside the main groove, so we're thinking that's going to help a little more side-by-side racing. But I love the speed here. I mean, getting upwards of 200 miles an hour on these laps and these guys running wide open is just – it's amazing to watch.
You've covered this sport for a good while, not only with NBC, but before that with Fox doing the Truck Series. I feel like the racing is the best that it's been in a long time. And we've used that phrase before, but with this rules package and how it's all worked out, you mentioned the traction compound that they're using at certain tracks. We're seeing more of an old school feel of side by side, door to door. These guys are able to save it if they get a little slideways. I like it.
I agree with you, Jason. One of the funny things is when you say kind of old school, I have been watching these guys get more aggressive. And, you know, we saw tempers last week at Watkins Glen where you have a young guy named William Byron who goes and runs into Kyle Busch. And then Bubba Wallace turns Kyle Busch. And Ryan Blaney is racing aggressively with Jimmy Johnson. And we're seeing these guys really fight for every position. And I love that. I mean, I think that is incredible. And so I think competitive is an understatement right now. Statistically speaking, we can say that because the last 9 races have had 9 different winners. So when you think of it that way, it's not one guy going out and dominating races. It is everybody. And that means the field is more competitive. And so that's what we love is there's races all over the racetrack. So there's battles for position that we try to keep in everybody's mind throughout the entire race, you know, and then we've had some fantastic finishes. So I agree with you. I think racing is as good as it's ever been.
Well, and what was interesting, you look at the first of the year, you had a handful of teams figured out. The Penske guys, they kind of had it figured out. Gibbs, they knew what was going on, and now it's evened out a little bit. We've seen Chase Elliott, you know, last week at the road course at Watkins Glen, he got the win, but Kurt Busch won a few weeks ago. Alex Bowman has gotten his first win, so Chevy is now in the mix. Now it's all evened out, and I think that's making it even better.
Yeah, parity is spectacular, and I think that's what NASCAR was hoping for. That's what the tracks are hoping for, is that it does even out, and it gives everybody an opportunity. Now crew chiefs are making strategy calls to get their driver in the right position, maybe taking chances where you would normally always do 4 tires at a stop. Now you try 2, or maybe fuel only, which what that says to me is the driver's going to have a handful, but he's going to go out there and he's going to bust his tail to make sure that he's competitive and hopefully fighting for a win at the end of these races. And so I love the fact that, you know, you have drivers getting their first ever wins, or, you know, the first of the season for Harvick, which came just recently. So those are some amazing things. That's how competitive it is right now. And that's what makes the racing so much fun to call.
Rick Allen is on with us here on Chasing Checkers, the voice of NASCAR on NBC. And you bring up William Byron earlier. I just had the pleasure of speaking to him just a few minutes ago before you came on. I feel like last year it was rookie year. He was overwhelmed, maybe wasn't quite ready, as we see a lot in NASCAR these days, that guys will get moved up to Cup maybe before they're ready. But now with Chad Knaus, he's much more comfortable. You have the veteran crew chief that's mentoring the young driver, the 7-time champion crew chief. Now I feel like William Byron's right there, and he's probably going to find victory lane very soon.
Well, you would hope so, but the expectations still have got to be that he's learning. And I think that's one of the things that this sport is so difficult to comprehend, is that these guys, when they get thrown in the seat up against the very best, I mean, this is like the all-star game every single weekend, because these guys have to battle the very best in the sport every single weekend. I go back to Logano, and Joey Logano, who now is a champion. He's extremely successful. You look at his first couple seasons, and you'd be hard-pressed to say, well, he probably, you know, I'm not sure if he should be in the Cup Series yet. And I think Joey Logano almost opened most of our eyes that these young guys need a year, 2 years, 3 years to really figure out how you race at this level and how you race against the best at this level. The races are longer than what they're used to in the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series. There's different strategies that go into it. You race differently throughout the whole race. I mean, from the beginning of the race to the middle of the race to the end of the race. And then you throw in stage racing, and you have stage breaks that people are fighting for every point. So there's so much more, I think, that's happening right now in the sport and in the Cup Series that these guys have to fight through. So William Byron, I think, is doing a spectacular job. I think Chad Knaus, being his crew chief this year, is going to help him immensely. I expect him to be victorious. He has been knocking on the door. He's been running great at certain racetracks. I expect him to win. I'm just not going to put the expectations so high that at the end of the year you're disappointed, because I still think he is a very talented race car driver, but I don't know if we should expect him to win this year. I would say if he gets the next year and he still hasn't won, then we might have an issue.
Well, I think we all learned with Chase Elliott. It was going to take Chase Elliott a little bit longer than we had all initially thought. Once he got there, once he won last year at Watkins Glen, then you started to see them pop off, and it was easier for him. Now he's up to win five after last week.
Yeah, and he's calling Watkins Glen his home track now. The kid from Georgia is loving Watkins Glen because the roar of the crowd when he wins those races, which he's put on two back-to-back stellar performances at that track. And I think the fans they really appreciate how good he is at Watkins Glen. And so that's the exciting thing. You can compare him to Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott now has become really the number one driver at Hendrick Motorsports, which nobody would have expected, you know, having Jimmy Johnson still there. But Chase is setting the bar, and everyone's trying to live up to what he's done.
What do you think is going on with Jimmy Johnson? We saw the run-in last week with Ryan Blaney, and they're still kind of jawing at each other going into Michigan this weekend. But it's not the same Jimmy Johnson that we all saw for many, many years. And every time you think, okay, there he is, he's getting it, he's close to winning again, he falls off. And I just can't figure it out.
There's so much chemistry that is involved with every team. And we look at, I mean, the two players that you look at are the crew chief and the driver most of the time. That's what you look at and you say, okay, here is the situation that these two might not be, they might not be gelling right now. We know that Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson had success for however many years, 7 championships, 83 wins. But there was a guy by the name of Ron Malik that was the car chief for that team that when he left, they hadn't won since. Now, I'm not saying that Ron Malik was the reason, but I'm saying that a whole team has to come together cohesively to be successful. And when you find the right pieces, it clicks. I mean, you look at Adam Stevens and Kyle Busch. I mean, you look at some of these great ones now, Rodney Childers, Kevin Harvick. You're seeing these teams that have that chemistry, and they've built these teams to be very, very cohesive and great at what they do, each individual one. And I think right now, Jimmy and the crew chief, Cliff Daniels, I think they're still searching to get all of that together. I don't think we can expect after 1, 2, 3 races it to click. So I think they still need to get that chemistry right. And there's no way I would ever question the ability of Jimmy Johnson. I think he will win again. I think he just has to be in the right situation.
Rick Allen here with us on Chasing Checkers. Now, I kind of mentioned earlier, I'm an old school guy. I love rivalries. You know, back in the day of whether it was Earnhardt and Waltrip or Earnhardt and Gordon, you know, I love the rivalries. And we see Kyle Busch that you either love him or you don't. That's how the fans are sometimes. But he's had some run-ins the last few weeks. And quite frankly, Bubba Wallace and what he said and standing up to him and William Byron, I love that. Now they're going to have to back it up. They're going to have to beat him on the track at some point. But I know from your standpoint, from the TV side, rivalries are definitely a good thing.
Yes, and he has a polarizing personality about him. Kyle Busch, like you said, you either love him or you hate him. And if you think back, it wasn't that long ago, Jeff Gordon was booed when he was introduced because he won so much. And if he wasn't your driver, you would boo him because he was beating your driver. And even back when Dale Earnhardt was, you know, so popular and running so well, he was booed because he wasn't their, you know, maybe everyone's favorite driver, and he was beating their favorite driver. And so the fact with Kyle Busch, he's polarizing. We love that. He's passionate. We love that. And now he's in a situation where there's a lot of guys taking shots at him. I mean, we know Kyle Busch doesn't like Brad Keselowski. Those two don't get along, but they have each other's respect on the racetrack. Now you're throwing in Bubba Wallace. You're throwing in William Byron. You're throwing in a lot of people that are taking shots at Kyle Busch because right now Kyle Busch is the best. I mean, he's got the most wins this season. He's, as far as active drivers, he's been the most successful over probably the past, I don't know, 8 or 10 years. Kyle Busch is the number one guy. And so everybody's kind of taking shots at him, but he stands up to it, and we'll see. Yeah, like I said, they've got to show up. These guys have to show up and beat him on the track. It's very, very hard to do. I think Kyle Busch rebounded at Watkins Glen and finished 11th, and that might have been only the second time this year he's finished out of the top 10. So he's really good. I mean, there's no question about it. He's the best right now on the track, but he's getting some more rivals, and that could hurt his chances of winning a championship when he pisses guys off on the racetrack on a weekly basis.
To be the man, you got to beat the man, as Ric Flair once said. Before I let you go,
the woo,
got to throw that in there. Before I let you go, the product that you guys have on NBC, I love that you have the four-man booth because you're able to do so many different things, whether you're putting Steve or Dale Jr. or Jeff on the pit box. You did the radio-type broadcast the last couple of weeks. How beneficial is it to have this group that you work with week in and week out to be able to do different things and make the broadcasts different than a traditional broadcast?
Chase, I think what works for us is that we are all friends. We're not coworkers. We're buddies. And so we hang out together off the track. We do things away from the track, you know, with our families and such. And we love hanging out together. And then you add into that, you know, you got your buddies that are following racing with you, but we get to go and watch and call what we all love. I mean, we love racing, and that's the fun part about it is everybody knows that everybody else is putting in 100% effort to do the best they can at their job. And so we all have that appreciation, and no matter what role we're in, I mean, last year I was on pit road, in Loudoun, we put, you know, Steve on the pit box for qualifying. We switch it up, you know, when we're at super speedways, it's the two drivers that are talking together and explaining what's going on. When it's a road course, it's strategy with Steve and I, you know, in a booth together. It's just that chemistry between the four of us is great. And we just love calling races together, and, you know, each other's company is wonderful. So that's, I think, what makes it so easy to maybe mix it up a little bit. And that gives the fans a different perspective each week. And so we think it's more entertaining. That's kind of what we're in the business to do is entertain and deliver, you know, the product the best we can. And, you know, it makes it easier when you've got guys that are fighting right down to the last, you know, foot to decide who's going to win a race. And so we're just having a lot of fun, and we enjoy what we do, just like you do, Chase.
Yeah.
We love racing.
Well, it's great to watch, and you now complete it because I've had all four of you on the show. So it's good that I've gotten to have you on and talk to you.
really enjoy your work and appreciate the time.
Appreciate you saved the best for last, Chase.
Exactly. Have fun this weekend.
Thank you.
That is Rick Allen, the voice of NBC NASCAR. You can see it all here in Nashville on NBC Sports Network coming up on Sunday at 2 o'clock Central Time. Rick, of course, will be joined by Jeff Burton, Steve Letarte, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the booth. Good stuff with him. He's always been one of my favorites and has the best voice. Let's just be honest. He has one of the best voices in broadcasting. We'll come back, get you set for Michigan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com as well. You can rate, subscribe, and review on iTunes. Good to be back with Chasing Checkers. I know it's been a few months, and I appreciate the patience and hope you will continue to listen as a lot has changed. Excited that I joined Darren Donick and Chase, the midday show, so you can hear me Monday through Friday from 10 to 2, and also Chase and TD talking Titans every Friday night at 6 o'clock. So I'm a little busy, got a lot going on. I'll still do the Pred stuff, but we will definitely have Chasing Checkers each and every Friday afternoon, and you can hear it throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So Michigan, this weekend, Brad Keselowski will lead the field on Sunday as he has won the Bush Poll Award. So he will do that. And look, you heard Rick Allen say about Joey Logano and how Joey Logano was so dominant. Look, the Penske cars always run well there, and Brad Keselowski especially. So he will lead the way to try and get yet another win for that number two car as the playoffs are near. It's hard to believe that the season is winding down and that we are almost at the very end of another NASCAR season. I mean, you think about this. Let's see. Let's pull up the schedule here, and you got this race this weekend at Michigan. They go to Bristol next Saturday night for that circus at the Bullring, and then the Southern 500 in Darlington the following weekend, Labor Day weekend, and then Indianapolis closes out the regular season. It's hard to believe. They haven't been to Indy yet. They go to Indy to close out the regular season, and then the playoffs start. So only four more races before the playoffs get underway, and then the South Point 400 in Las Vegas opens the playoffs, then Richmond, which is now a part of the playoffs, the Roval, Dover, Talladega, Kansas, Martinsville, Texas, Phoenix, ISM, and then Homestead. It'll be the final championship race at Homestead before they go to the new schedule next year, in which it goes to Phoenix and looks like it's going to rotate. So there is not a lot of time to get stuff done. And if you are some of these drivers that are either on the bubble or the outside looking in, you got some work to do. And looking at the points, Ryan Newman, as I mentioned earlier, is tied with Jimmy Johnson, but Jimmy gets the tiebreaker in the 16th and final spot. But Clint Bowyer doesn't have a ton of cushion. Kyle Larson is not, he's okay, but doesn't have a lot of cushion. Eric Jones. But behind Newman, you have Daniel Suarez that's close by. Paul Menard could make a jump. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who is actually going to join the show next week, he could make a jump. So there are all these guys, and look, if somebody jumps up there and gets a win, I mean, it was a great story with Justin Haley getting the win at Daytona, but that took a possible win away from somebody that needed it for the playoffs. So in these four races, some of these guys that are way on down in the standings in the top 30, I mean, they got to figure out how to bust through and get a win if they want to make the playoffs. So with this rules package and the way that they're all side by side and how close they can be, and just with what is on the line right now, you're going to see some great races, and you're going to go to all these different type tracks like we've seen over the past few weeks. But you got Michigan, which is a 2 mile oval coming up this weekend. You go to a short track, a half mile at Bristol. And then you go to Darlington, which is just unique in itself and how it's laid out. And then, of course, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So you have different types of racetracks over the next 4 weeks that are really going to make things exciting. So we will see how it all plays out. Again, Chasing Checkers has returned. You can find it every Friday afternoon on thegamenashville.com. It is on SoundCloud. It is on iTunes. And it airs throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So my thanks to William Byron and Rick Allen of NBC and all of you. Tweet at me at Chase on Game. We'll be watching the races and enjoying it. And we'll talk to you next week on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.